this cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex. And we are bringing you live from Old Trafford. So they were talking about Spaniards today at Old Trafford. They're talking about the Portuguese duo of Cristiano Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes lighting up the home crowd. Ronaldo with a brace, Bruno with a banger. Even Jesse had a say. Big game. United never even got out of second gear, but huge performance and Ronaldo's debut. How you feeling?
Sir, pinch me, I'm dreaming. I feel like you couldn't have drawn it up better. I called 5-1. It's 4-1 Ronaldo. I mean, haters gonna hate. I mean, all the Muppets talking about how he can't do it in the Premier League. He transitioned to a number nine, by the way. Poacher's goal right before half. Beats a man for pace and scores off his left. Absolute legend, sir. Not gonna lie. You know, I think there is something in my eye after that first goal. You know, got a little misty-eyed. Ronaldo back home doing the brace like he never left. What a time to be a Manchester United fan, sir. He said it's always darkest before the dawn. I think Villarreal. That was pretty dark. I think we're back, baby.
The sun is rising. The sun is rising in Salford, Manchester United. It's a new day. And today, I'm telling you, it's like we were talking about the Wolves game winning when he didn't play well. We smoked Newcastle, didn't even play that great. This team has so many higher gears that they can click into. But great debut from Cristiano, like you said. Poacher's goal. What's not to love? That's the kind of goal that I want him scoring. Just tap-ins. Nice from Greenwood to even force the kind of the spill from the keeper, but right where he should be. He's running in and doing that run that a seasoned poacher knows how to do. So great opening goal. And then, like you said, that Shaw ball almost left a little bit to be desired. Could have a little bit more pace on it, but he made the most of it and just supreme finish. Ronaldo still got it. How we doing?
Sir, he's got the C celebration Old Trafford, the fans backing him up. Huge lift from the fans today. Ronaldo's debut. I mean, the tide raises all boats. You saw it today. A little sharper from United. Passing wasn't scratchy. Fred didn't get the start. Matic did a job for probably 70 minutes. Started getting a little haggard there at the end. Just going to make that comment. But with Matic playing that role, Pogba spraying the ball. I think Ronaldo just makes everyone look better. I think you're seeing the Ferrari in first gear. First game, right? Ronaldo's been with United for a week. They got to build the chemistry. A few things were off today in the attack. Just a few misplaced passes. Those things are going to get worked out over time after they play together for a while. I think so encouraging from United. The presence from Ronaldo made everyone better. We looked a better side. We were patient on the ball, probing Newcastle with it. I just thought we looked like a different side. We looked like we're title contenders, sir. Serious title contenders. The attitude, the swagger, everything about it. I never sweated the game once. We gave up a crap goal. I wasn't worried. I honestly wasn't worried. And this is just a different United with Ronaldo back. He's going to get the best out of Greenwood, the best out of Sancho, the best out of Jesse, the best out of Paul B. Matic, you can go down the list. Oh, yeah, Ferran had a hell of a game.
Hell of a game.
Dove in a little too early on Saint-Maximin, but you know, you got to forgive the man. All around, a great performance. Team is going to be riding on cloud nine. And oh, by the way, we got young boys, the world beaters in the Champions League, sir. Slap them around a little bit at home. we're gonna be on a roll, you know.
So we got firepower on the bench. I like the subs from Ole, and I like what you said. It's basically we're the Ferrari puttering around the neighborhood at 20 miles an hour. It's like this thing is just getting going. This machine is gonna get so much better. This team is gonna gel even more. It had a different. There wasn't enough movement for me in the first half, right? Not enough movement off the ball. People were a little slow. It quickened in the second half, but we made the most of the opportunities. We never looked like we were sweating it. It did feel a little bit like United of old, just controlling possession, controlling the tempo of the game. Got caught out a couple of times in the midfield. One, of course, being a goal that they scored on us, which actually was a nice goal from Newcastle. You know, kind of sliced open, vintage style, but coming right back, same way we did when Greenwood scored. That against Leeds at the beginning of the season, just kind of a nice impact goal from Ronaldo. What a finish. This team is only getting better and better, sir. Marcus Rashford is going to come back into this side. Ronaldo is just getting going, and Bruno Fernandes still has a say about being the Magnifico for this team.
It's almost like it's the beginning of the movie, and you're just starting to figure out your superhero power. You're like, Bruno's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I can bang one in from 30. Oh, yeah, Ronaldo's going to run in behind. And then, like, Wan-Bissaka, like, he had a great ball across the front of net. Timing's not there. I felt like Sancho kind of playing with Shaw on the left. He doesn't have that timing just right. He doesn't know exactly what Ronaldo wants. All that stuff is going to be sorted and figured out. I mean, as far as we looked like when we lost the ball, we were trying to get it back quicker. It just seemed like the intention was so great, so much greater from this United side where we've seen the confused, kind of just not up for a match. Today, it looked like, hey, we got to win. We got to win. Ronaldo, home debut, second home debut. We got to win, and that attitude is going to take us on to higher highs, sir. Lifting trophies, if you believe, CR7 returning home. Can we lift a few trophies? Absolutely. What a season. Just the beginning, sir. Riding high. It's just Newcastle, but hey, you know, it's like Santa Claus is coming home. You know, like the magic around Old Trafford, the fans. Old Trafford hasn't been that loud in a long time. The energy around this club, this team, it's what you need to win titles.
Team win, it's important.
Team win, it's important. Ronaldo had his say. The only thing that dampened my day was having to see the Glazers in the stadium. I prefer them hanging out in Florida, staying in the United States. You know, they want to see their new cash cow. I think he's already kind of paid back his upfront fee from Juventus with the shirt sales, breaking all the records. But this team's going to get better and better. You're right, it's just Newcastle, but you know what? We've played down to Newcastle's before in the past. This side, you know, could have easily drawn this game 1-1 or been a lot closer to 2-1, snuck off at the end. So great team performance. That's only going to get better. Caught out a couple times. But on paper, that's starting 11. It's like that's an 11 that should be able to compete for titles, Champions Leagues. Even the Matic, like, he did a lot of things right today. You know, caught out a couple times. United felt pretty assured. De Gea back there looking pretty good. This team has a lot of gunslingers in it that are just getting going as well. Jesse Lingard contributing. Well, if he scores 10, 15 goals, I mean, all of a sudden it's like you're going to have goals everywhere on this side.
So the biggest takeaway for me is got to be Paul Pogba in the two. Playing with Modric, did a job, did work going back. And oh, by the way, just the silky passes going forward. I mean, he passes the ball out of the camera. You can't even see where it's going, but you know it's money. Like right to Luke Shaw. He sprays it across the pitch. And this is why the new deal for Paul Pogba, I think, is going to be important, because that role today was huge. The distribution out to Wan-Bissaka, Greenwood, to Shaw. So calm on the ball. It kind of makes it easy for Modric to find him. Then, boom, get right into attack. Also, shout out to De Gea for that quick distribution. I mean, like, De Gea had a good game. Great big save in a tight moment there as well. De Gea looks on vintage form for United. So I think everyone's kind of feeling it this season. And when you're feeling it, sir, 21 and 21. So it's 22.
It's a mentality thing. And he brings a lot to this team's mentality. They also, the mentality of this team has been maturing even before Ronaldo. I think, you know, getting your teeth knocked in at Gdansk, Villarreal, this team, a lot of comebacks. I think they know that, like, it's going to take a lot of grit and strong mentality, strong will to win in order to, like, you know, get ahead of the noisy neighbors and all the other oil-rich clubs that are going to be chomping at our heels this year. But it's about making a statement, starting on the front foot, and this team can get better and better. We got to push that. We got to be moving off the ball. We got to be creating more chances. But there was an assuredness of, hey, this is ours. We're not dropping points in Newcastle today. That you know, there was a confidence there that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, and the Achilles heel for this United side is not being able to break down the low block. Oh, yeah, by the way, broke down the low block pretty good today. Smacked them around Old Trafford. You'll love to see it, sir. See, we're back, baby. Quick PSA for the American Red Devils. We are four fans by fans, giving you that bias fan take from the couch. That's what we're all about. If you want to support independent fan content, you know what independent means to us? We have no commercial sponsorship, sir. We don't have to say anything we don't want to. We just say it like it is, straight from New Jersey, where we grew up. You want to support the jokers that are the America Red Devils, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. You can sign up for four tiers. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. It's a great way to support the podcast. And a big shout out to Nesto Avalar, who recently became a Patreon member this week. You are the real MVP. Helps us keep the lights on in the bunker. And this podcast, never sleeping, sir. That's what we do. Also, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have great fan-generated blog content there and some awesome merchandise. If you click on store, we have our new 21-22 scarf in stock. It is almost sold out, sir. Grab one while you can. Tell about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost any money at all. Number one way we are found is organic traffic through iTunes. So all you have to do to help us drive future traffic for American Red Devil fans like yourself, future American Red Devil fans, is write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it has cheeky banner, even better. We love that. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. And Alex from American Red Devils will personally pick, pack, and ship your item, which is going to be whatever I feel like, some swag, just to kind of show our appreciation for writing a review. So do it. Cost nothing at all. Great way to support the pod. And you get some swag while we're at it. Sir, what else we got?
Big shout out to all of our fans who filled out our end of the season survey. We love getting fan feedback. Part of that feedback was, hey, when you guys do remote pods, the sound needs to be better. So I got a whole microphone set up here. So hopefully the audio is a little better. We try to get better here at the American Red Devils, but we know nothing about sound engineering, sir. What do you know? Let's...
Well, we don't know nothing. We got a hell of a setup over here. Lots of computers running. This guy's got his own mic, HQ. But
sir, don't touch those knobs.
I'm not touching that. I'm not even going to look at it.
Let's get into it. Manchester United 4, Newcastle United 1 at Old Trafford, sir. It's the fourth game week. Let's get into that lineup. Oh, my God. I don't even believe what I'm seeing here. David De Gea, world number one in net. Luke, the impossible meat pie Shaw at the left. Maguire for Ron, center back pairing. That's not getting old, sir. Wan-Bissaka on the right. Pog, Matic midfield. Bruno in the hole. Sancho on the left. Greenwood on the right. And Viva Ronaldo at number 9. Sir, 1-11. Ole got it right. No Fred. He started Ronaldo. What'd you make of this starting 11?
What's not to like? I woke up 6:30 in the morning, West Coast time, rolling out of bed. First thing you do is you check the lineup. Did he start Ronaldo? Of course. Did he play a formidable midfield two? Of course. Happy to see that. We were kind of talking about it on the preview pod. Does he go with Donny? I kind of wavered even after giving my 11 where I started Donny. It's like, actually, I'll probably start Matic and maybe do Donny midweek. And that's what ended up happening. I think it was the good move. Matic looked assured. And that's a hell of an 11, like I was saying. As you would famously say, this should be good enough to beat Newcastle. This should be good enough to beat a lot of teams, and a lot of teams that are very good, big-name clubs around Europe, because that's a very solid side in terms of just experience and like potential. I mean, Sancho and Greenwood and Ronaldo up front, Bruno in the hole. What's not to like? I mean, look at that 11, sir. How far we've come in a couple of years from like the Smalling, you know, Sanchez days to now. It's kind of unbelievable.
No, totally. And what you're seeing here is the best. It used to be like they're just a bang on best 11. You start them until they're injured. Now you start seeing like there's different pieces you can use. Obviously, like Lingard stayed, James left, right? So you could put Lingard on the left. You could obviously put Fred with Pogba in the two. That'd make us a little nervy. You could put Van de Beek in the two. Mata can play on the right, or you could play 10. You have different center back pairings that you could do for rotation midweek against Young Boys. Strong side. A lot of depth here. And Ole having depth. You know, it's something we really haven't seen. The midfield could be a little deeper, but this team says rotation and playing well all over it, where you kind of have that core spine and the Matic's and the Fred and the Donnies of the world can kind of rotate in as need be. And that's great for a team with as many games, as many cup competitions as we have.
No, that's going to be the decider, I think, in terms of our ability to kind of bring home trophies. He's got to manage this team. There's a lot of games coming up, but it's a big squad. And like you said, I think if he finds the ability to kind of mix and match different combos of attacking midfielder and defensive players to kind of survive this schedule and also get the best out of the players, that's going to be the ticket for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Can he do it? Today was a good start. I like the lineup, and I like the subs he made throughout the game as well. I thought they all affected it well.
Let's jump into this match.
So United come out with conviction, but can't create too many clear-cut chances early on. But there was one in the third minute, early chance after Ronaldo flicks over the top. Bruno couldn't quite get a hold of it, but showing that early link-up as something that could be something. We know it's going to be something. And that's ninth minute. Bruno had a cross. Ronaldo swinging a miss. Room for improvement early. So he was like, oh no, what did we get out of Ronaldo? They were creating something, but the final product wasn't quite there in the early goings.
Swinging for the fences. I think the biggest question mark here around Bruno and Ronaldo, can they both do it on the pitch given their Portugal connect? They have been firing very well for Portugal, but I think this proved proved all the haters wrong. You just got to give them time, man. It's hard to build that chemistry international.
It's a different makeup. They have a different, nine players around them. They play in a different style. I think this United team, even with the McFred, I think that would still bring the best out of this United side with Bruno and Ronaldo playing together with us. Attacking pace on the side and the wings. 19th minute, working on those corners. Varane with a free header just wide. Good chance. This could have been a goal, but a lot more potency from those United corners we've been seeing over the first game weeks, which is very promising because that was an area where we needed some improvement after last season.
Totally. Varane, he got his head on this one. I mean, amazing. Maguire got his head on another. Ronaldo's in there. Like you said, I think we're much more dangerous from corner kicks. Before it was just, hey, where's Slabhead at? And now we have a few different players who can get on one, and Varane going forward is dangerous.
And you know who else is dangerous? United got caught out a couple times, and this is one of them, 22nd minute, looking vulnerable on the break. De Gea forced into a very nice save relatively early. But we just started to show, you give the ball away a little cheaply or you get boxed out. All of a sudden, Newcastle are looking to break at you with speed, and they show that danger. So in 26th minute, Bruno tries one from the halfway line. Not too far off, but why not? Magnifico feeling it, but just over. And then 27th minute, Willock with a free chance. He actually squanders in the box after United caught out again. Sir, it was starting to open up at the end of the first half.
You know what? I really didn't mind it because United kind of throwing everything in the kitchen sink going forward. Realistically, just Maguire, Varane, and Matic to kind of hold the line in Newcastle's half. I'm totally fine with that. But when you get caught out, you got to rely on their lack of quality and, a little bit of brilliance from Maguire and Varane. And, ultimately, we did hold here in the first half.
We did hold. And, when they attack, it gives us opportunities to counterattack, which is a position that United have been dangerous in many times in the past. So it was end-to-end stuff at the end of the first half. 38th minute, United break. Ronaldo hits the side netting. He was growing into that first half. And then, as the wife said, we need a goal before halftime. 47th minute. It was his day. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Greenwood. Greenwood had a pop. Woodward's felt it. And guess who's there? Close your eyes. And he never went away.
Close your eyes and he never went away. I like the sound of that, sir. Nothing wrong with this goal. It's a classic poacher's goal. We've seen it before. That seems like the kind of goal that Cavani has scored in the past for us. Greenwood puts it in, bumbles it, rumbles it, and Ronaldo's right at the end just to tap it in. Perfect way to reintroduce himself to the old Trafford faithful. How are you feeling at the end of the first half?
Look, I think in the first half, I would say we did pretty well. A lot of passes in their third. I want to say we had 4x the amount of passes that Newcastle had in the final third. So we dominated, but the one player who didn't get a lot of touches was Mason Greenwood, and the fact that he's able to cut in, curler, you know, fast, bounces, kind of rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, Ronaldo on it, but Greenwood, just a sniff there, is the difference. And it's, it could be interesting for Ole, because you have Sancho out on the left, Ronaldo at 9, Greenwood out on the right. It's almost like Wan-Bissaka was occupying that territory more than Mason. He was involved more in the second half, but you got to find a way to get Mason on the ball, because stuff like this is the difference maker for United. He's been at the core of everything good that's happened to us this season so far. Got to get him on the ball. Got to find Mason Greenwood.
No, totally. He had a couple good chances, a couple good balls that he was looking, you know, speculative far post stuff, looking for Ronaldo. But you have to say it's going to be about getting all those young attacking players involved. Sancho, I think it was the best game yet from him. He didn't have any like huge moments, but he looked tidy with it. He looked dangerous on the wing. So headed into halftime, what do you think Ole's saying to the boys?
I mean, everyone's buzzing. Ronaldo got the goal. Even without the Ronaldo goal, he would have told him, like, hey, keep it up. You're doing a great job. It's going to come. I felt like the first half, we did impose our game plan on our opponent at home. I thought United did everything right. Just the shots on target, just the final ball, the final product wasn't there. But it does make sense because these players haven't played together a lot. Like we said, Ferrari's in first gear. You know, the quality's there. They just kind of have to all sync up. Like Sancho, I think, got a little frustrated. Should he be in the box? Should he not? I mean, you looked at Ronaldo and Bruno. They're both playing almost up top as nines together at certain times. Bruno would drop deep. Ronaldo would drop deep. So you're going to get used to everyone sort of switching positions. And Sancho, I could see him kind of get stuffed up. Should I go inside? But Bruno's there. Then I got Shaw on the outside. So Sancho has to kind of find his pocket of space. So kind of the best is yet to come from Jadon Sancho for me. But Ole wouldn't he shouldn't change a thing in the second half.
No. And, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement. It looked like a team that was just getting to know each other. You know, a lot of these players have played with each other for a while, but just having Ronaldo in the mix kind of changes the way you're going to go about it. And also now with the defensive unit that we have, having Varane, Maguire, and De Gea back into form, I think Ole's a little bit more confident about what kind of play he's going to go for. And he's going to play in the vintage United way, which is strong defense and hold possession and just create a lot of chances and batter a team. That was good to see. It was a confident play from United. Came out in the second half a little bit sleeping, you know, in control.
I mean, we thought we were up. We thought we were up by three here. I mean, it was like a little too
confident, a little too slow, lackadaisical.
You can come out and try to like take the sting out of the game. I have no problem with that. But everyone should know, and this is why, you know, you look at this team, it's a young team. It's a big moment at Old Trafford. Like, you got to be killing them you got to be getting the second one. You get the second one, I have a little pass around. This was a little too casual for me, sir. I tweeted out right before the goal, and we got caught sleeping. Maguire diving in, Varane diving in. Those two guys dive in and miss. You're going to get a goal. You're going to get a goal.
Wasn't the best defending. You know, nice play from Newcastle, to be fair, but like you said, 56th minute, it was Newcastle had their say. Maybe that's what was needed to wake up United.
And here's Saint-Maximin. And here is Javi Manquillo! What each!
You have to say, not a bad goal, but United did bite. Maguire bit. Varane bit. All right. This guy's, you know, this team's got some goals to concede in them, for sure. But it's always going to be about outscoring your opponent, sir. It didn't take long. You want to build this goal, or you want to just go right to it? 61st minute.
Sir, he can't beat a man. He's 36. Legs are gone. He's selfish. He's not going to be able to do it. You know, all that just like fuels Ronaldo. Just fuels him. He's a maniac. He listens to all the hate. And then he just puts, I mean, like, can't beat a man. Can't beat a man, sir.
That's what they say. 61st minute. CR7.
Shaw. Gathering speed. We're going to play in Ronaldo. It is Ronaldo. It's 2-1 United. The theatre lives its dream. It's fantasy hero retreads the boards.
Steve Ronaldo is not working on the soundboard, sir. But the most important thing is, like you said, can't beat a man for pace. Shaw, good ball. I thought it didn't have quite enough juice on it, but he made the most of it. CR7, that is. Great finish between the legs. Inject that haterade into my veins. CR7's like, give me another dose. What else you got? You should be cupping his ears to the English journal and saying, say again. The only way it could have went up this was with a hattie. Wasn't meant to be. What a goal from Ronaldo.
Sorry, you know, this is stupid. This one's just stupid. I mean, like, to say, like, Ronaldo, dude, look at his diet. Look what he does. I mean, he's an absolute machine. He's got the pace. If you watched him in Serie A, sir, I watched every goal for Juve before he signed. I said, maybe can't beat him over a longer distance, but he starting even in this situation on his left and on his right, he's a lethal finisher. You saw this today. Look, it's Newcastle United, but you know this blew the lid off Old Trafford. I mean, we're down 1-1, a little cagey. He gets the. I expect us to win. But then for Ronaldo to just like run at somebody and beat him like this, which is unbelievable. Sorry, he's an absolute legend in the game. One of the best to ever do it. You can sign him. You sign him.
So we're dreamland. I mean, you've been talking about signing Ronaldo for years and years. Decade, basically. 12 years ago since he's left.
Sir, there's not been a season that's passed that I didn't think that he would come back to United.
I know. And that's why I said it.
I know. Honestly, like I knew that he wouldn't come back a year later, but then after like his second year, there were rumors he didn't like it. I was like, oh, he'll come back for sure. That was what? 2010. It's 2021, sir. I'm an old man. And couldn't be happier that he's decided to not eat all that good food over those years so that he can still do what he's doing. Because I've eaten all that good food over the years, and I could not do what he's doing, sir.
I'm on the Wayne Rooney diet.
Sir, I sleep wrong in the bed. I got a shoulder problem for a week. You know.
Yeah, we're not doing leg lifts, 5 naps a day, whatever, cryogen, freezing, but whatever works. Because if he can score goals like this, score goals like the first goal, holy crap.
Sir, we might need to get a cryo chamber for the pod bunker.
I don't think we have room. Laws are closing in.
Sir, I'm in. If it makes your abs look like that, I'm down.
I think it's going to take a lot more than that. I'm going to have to skip the bacon buddies in the morning. Wow, what a goal from United. Sir, who's coming on in the 65th minute? Jesse Lingard, Jadon Sancho. Jadon started to tire. Obviously, he's not 100% match fit, but Jesse, he might have something to say this season, or he's just upping his transfer fee in January, but whatever it is. People look pretty tidy today in the last 30.
Scored for England. He's in form. You know, you got to put him on. Like I said, Sancho's sort of fading. I think fitness is the issue for him. Lingard is fit. Ole, you know, he got him in. Good to see Ole liking Lingard on the left because you get rid of Dan James and there's really only one option on the bench there.
No doubt. And Martial is not in form yet. He could play on the left, but you know what? He hasn't been in form in a minute. Either way, you know who is in form. De Gea is, 67th minute, forced into a good save. But the real man, everyone's saying, are the Portuguese going to get along? Are they going to jive? Bruno, Ronaldo, blah, blah, blah. I think they both just like more. Give me more of this haterade. And you know what? Line me up for this. In the 80th minute, sorry, it might be Ronaldo's team, but Bruno Fernandes is still our magnifique go.
Que tiene que tenía Cristiano al arquero me parece que tiene que ver en los dos goles. Pumba. Bruno que se demarca. Bruno. Gol.
So you get the Bruno. Let's go. What a player. What a hit. I mean, little space there. The one thing I did say in the first half, it was opening up at the top of the box. Unfortunately, Matic was always on the ball. Doesn't have that shot like Bruno because Newcastle would drop so deep on the pullback. It's there. Bruno just like a little window and absolutely cranks it. World, you have a goal from Bruno Fernandes. I mean, that's where you're getting the sort of the expertise, the elder Ronaldo at 9, and then you have the young Bruno at 10. The 1-2 punch, sir. Lights out. Have a dark ale. Enjoy the day. Manchester United is back. Always at the wheel, baby. How good does it feel?
Sir, getting there. He's going all the way. Always at the wheel already. What a goal. Because you know what? Ronaldo used to score a lot of goals like this. I don't think he quite does that anymore. He doesn't like to score those outside of the box bangers, but Bruno still got it in his locker. He's still a top player. Of course, Ronaldo is, but Ronaldo's like a box player, which is exactly what we need at the moment. Show that today. Beat a man for pace, and then Bruno with a banger outside of the box. He said, hey, thank you, sir. I have another. I'm here to play.
And he wanted it, too. I mean, like, the celebration from Bruno was like, yeah, dude, like, hey, Ronaldo, you get one. I'll get one. Bruno obviously gets two. But, you know, it's good to have them both on the score sheet. That momentum from that pair, I think they're just going to lead the line for United. So best moment of the match for me. Ole's bringing on the double sub. Before that, he goes to Ronaldo. He asks him if he wants to be subbed. Ronaldo says, nah. I said on the last pod.
I didn't see that. I did not see that. That happened?
I said it. Yes, I said it on the last pod. He's the manager, bro. Like, it's his team, dude. Like, it's like...
like you know what? I'm okay
you know
with
what?
That.
You know why? Because it's true. I said it. It's like, Ronaldo is like a planet, dude. Like Ronaldo's gravity... is like, you have to understand, like, the gravity of Ronaldo is, like I said, almost equal to the size of United as a club. Like, you know, it's unbelievable, like, the fans he brings. He has most Instagram followers in the world. You know, I'm not a big social guy, but more than United, more than the whole English Premier League combined, the clubs combined.
That's nuts.
So, like, this dude is just, like, on another level, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is just, like, a little moon, you know, rotating outside. Hey, how are you feeling, Ronnie? You want to come off? You good? Okay, you're good. Like, it's his team, sir. He gave a speech at the hotel last night to the squad, get him fired up. Dude, he's taking the reins at Manchester United. Everyone's like, all right, we got to win. Like, Ronaldo wants to win. He's telling everyone we need to win the league. He's telling everyone we need to win the Champions League. He's setting new targets, new highs for this team. You think Ole gave a team talk at the beginning of the season, said we need to win the league and the Champions? Like, nah. Ronaldo's the one setting that bar. It is his team, sir. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, just deal with the press. Ronaldo's going to deal with the dressing room. Smack some fools. Lift some trophies. Sir, we're back.
It's yin and yang, dude. It's like, you know, Ole has a particular set of skills, and we know what he's good at, and we know what he's maybe not so good at. Maybe the exact thing he needs right now is a senior figurehead with that gravitational pull who can kind of like help bring that extra grit, maybe give a little edge to Ole's game as well. He can dip out of her managerial skills like that. You ready to go? You ready to come off? You want to stay on? You stay on. I'll bring on Donny Van de Beek and Tony Martial. Not a bad position to be in.
Ronaldo is definitely having a say who plays in the middle of the park for Manchester United.
He's like play 100%. Play Matic.
Like, yes. He will be like literally like if he will have a say. Like, it's not going to be public, but he will talk to Ole about it. I mean, he has that much sway. He is that big of a deal. You love to see it. And that's why I think having a manager like Ole, who doesn't have that ego like Mourinho competing with Ronaldo, is actually good.
Right.
I'm not like bashing on Ole. I'm just saying when you have a player like Ronaldo, you kind of need to play to that a little bit. And I think Ole is a good manager. He's a player's coach. They have the connection when they play together. I think it could be a good thing. I think this is a good thing for United.
No, it is a good thing. And I totally feel you. I think it's just a compliment to what Ole does well and what Ronaldo does well. But you know who's also playing pretty well? Jesse Lingard, 90+3, sir. United was not done. Trying to get to that 5-1 prediction like you called. Let's go.
Van de Beek, otra vez el francés. Ah, qué buena esta para Lingard. Golazo, gol.
Sir, golazo indeed. Well done from Jesse Lingard. He's off the mark. Pogba with another assist. I think he's at 7. 7 assists, season date already. Even nice and Donny Van de Beek getting involved a little bit. So great goal to kind of wrap up a great day. United are back. Different team. This is like a new look United side with confidence, with potential, deep squad. A lot of good players in it. I even think we might see the best in a Fred with Ronaldo kind of chipping at him in Portuguese. Like, hey, why not? Stars are aligning. He could be... Sorry, just getting the feels. You know, I think all United fans are feeling this way. Want to rewatch this game. Certainly want to rewatch the second half.
Is there a coincidence that Chevy grill is no longer on the front of the shirt? No. And we're playing well? I don't think so, sir. Match stats. United, this is more like it's 65% of the ball to Newcastle. Newcastle is 35%. Shots on target, 7-3. Shots, 21-12, sir. Pass accuracy, 90%. Passes, 636 for Manchester United to 352 for Newcastle. Bright spots for Newcastle was Almiron. He was spoiling things on the left initially. He had a crazy work rate. Comes from Atlanta United, sir. Argentinian player. He was dangerous today, linking the attack and on the counter as well. Other than that, Newcastle, you know, Steve Bruce, really appreciate the assist on the 4-1 match reaction. Cristiano Ronaldo is the oldest player to score for Manchester United in the Premier League since Ryan Giggs. He was in the stands. Ryan Giggs, good luck in court, brother. Paul Pogba is the only player to have recorded as many as 10 assists in the Premier League in 2021, while his 7 assists in Manchester United's opening 4 games is the most any player has registered in the first 4 matches of Premier League season. And Ronaldo is the oldest player to score a brace in the Premier League since Graham Alexander for Burnley against Hull in April 2010. He was 38. Wow. So Ronaldo turning back the clock. And Ronaldo, I can't even imagine. I can't believe I'm saying.
I know.
His name. It's like, this is so, it's like, I don't believe this is real, sir. Ronaldo has scored his first Premier League goal since May 2009. His gap of 12 years and 124 days between goals is the second longest. The player who did it even longer was 13 years, Matt Jackson. Nobody knows that guy. But, sir, Ronaldo's back. Only Mr. Nice Guy. What do you have to say?
Sir, let's find out. Let's hear from the manager now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
That today.
But when you win a game, you enjoy it. When you see the fans being happy as they are, you really enjoy it. And when you see the players coming off as they did, proud of their performance, of course. Loads of expectations today to the team, to Cristiano, and I think they've all delivered.
Was it a day that you had to deliver, as you say, because of the expectation and the atmosphere around the place?
We have to deliver every time. That's Man United, so it doesn't change.
Cristiano Ronaldo has been brought in to make the difference in tight games. It was a tight game for a long part of it, but how much did we see the Cristiano Ronaldo of today as that striker, that predator?
He's developed into a fantastic goal scorer, sensing the big moments, knowing where to be, positioning himself in the box. Playing a very good game, like he drops in, links to play well, but he gets in the box when he has to.
Was there much thinking went into whether he was going to...
Sir, Ole has nothing but good things to say about the scorer of the brace, Cristiano Ronaldo, his movement, his poaching ability in the box. There's also just like a newfound confidence in a man that, you know, just missed out on a cup final 2 months earlier. He seems to have a swag that this whole team is getting now, that the potential is enormous. Expectation is always high, as he says. Expectation is always to win as Manchester United. And now I think he really believes that every game they can win because this side is good enough against any side in the world. On their day. Let's go.
Sir, any side in the world, you say?
On our day. We played average today and we roll. I mean, this is a shit team. But this team can get so much better. This defense, midfield, attack can get so much better. Everyone's going to jive more. There's a lot of youngsters in this squad. Dude, the sky's the limit. I'm full Muppet, man. I'm like, woo! I'm buzzing.
Sir, a little tangent here. You're wearing the Rooney 8. I don't think you ever owned a Ronaldo shirt. Why did you never own a Ronaldo shirt?
Because you can only pick one.
Because I monopolized the Ronaldo.
No, because you only pick one. Yeah, you were a Ronaldo guy. I was a Rooney guy. And it's like, you stayed a Ronaldo guy. I stayed a Rooney guy. I always respected Ronaldo's game. I watched all of 118 of his goals at Manchester United again last night just to get hype mode for this game.
You're a lunatic.
Yeah, you know me. But it's like you can't have both. You can't have both. You can't be a Ronaldo and a Rooney fan at Manchester United, at least back in the day.
I think you can. I think you can have both kits. I have both kits.
Well, there you go.
I didn't buy it while Rooney was playing. Like, I think Rooney's like a fine wine. His performance at United has aged over time. I think Rooney's just the more like fighting around the world, dark ale drinking Wayne Rooney does, the bigger of a fan I am. You know?
I tell you what, right?
Like, he's a legend. Like, look at the size of his head.
He's bigger every year.
So he needs to be sponsored by a dark ale company. That's where he's going to go next, probably. Sir, I mean, Hans and Franz, thing of the past. We have some special, sweet music we got to be playing here on the podcast. Can Alex do it in the bunker?
Does it work? Let's see.
With a favorable group draw, boy, everything seems right with the world. Ronaldo hits a brace and we're playing the Champions League theme song on the podcast, sir. This one's for all the fans that have been with us for the hard run, the Hans and Franz, the battling for top four. We're back. Statement game ahead. Young Boys versus Manchester United, sir. This is going to be one of those where we just need to slap them around. Just, you know, slap them around a little bit. Who is this team? We played them before in the Champions League, beat them up pretty good, but that's really it. I mean, I'm not really concerned. How are you feeling about hearing that music?
Sir, it's special. The feels. I mean, we're back, baby. It's like no more Hans and Franz. Ronaldo would be go ballistic if he had to hear Hans and Franz even once this year, sir. He's not going to take it, not going to allow it, and we're not going to have it here at the American Red Devils, sir. It's Champions League or bust, baby. And I think the potential of this team, dude, nothing better than the group we got. We got the most fortuitous group, and then all of a sudden we got Cristiano Ronaldo dropped on our lap. Let's go, baby. Young Boys.
Sure, he's gonna, I mean, like, you know, this music, that number seven, everything, sir, they, like, you know, sometimes the stars align, my man. The number seven, Ronaldo, Champions League, walking out of the stadio. De Suisse. That's Tuesday, September 14th, 9:45 a.m. Pacific, sir, 12:45 p.m. Eastern. I mean, just got to do them dirty, dude. Lifetime versus Young Boys. We've won two. We haven't lost. We haven't drawn. We beat them in the Champions League group stage before. 3-0, 1-0. They're seventh in the Swiss League. I'm not worried about it. Their form coming in is questionable. They drew Basel last weekend. They're playing right now against FC Zurich in the Champions League playoff. Obviously, they won versus a team I can't even pronounce, sir. But they've all over the board. They've had a few red cards. You know, they're Swiss, dude. This is just like one of those you got to roll them over. This is like Newcastle minus, in my opinion.
It's the Newcastle of the Champions League, basically. It's like, this is yum, 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 yum. This is just a call warm up. This is just like, let's go. Food for the machine. You know, this Ferrari needs gasoline. And this is the exact gasoline this car needs right now. Is give some players some run out, give Donny a start, get Lindelof, Bailly, and Delow some minutes.
This isn't Europa League.
Exactly. But this is Young Boys, bro.
You're trying to get like, this is.
Yeah, but you need to flex this squad. This squad needs to rotate, and this is the perfect time to rotate. This is a very average team. Sure. They should be crushing.
Two words for you. Trap game.
Trap game.
This is a way. What happened to us? Istanbul, Bakasher, Demba Ba.
Don't tell me about that.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is having nightmares. He wakes up, cold sweats, Demba Ba, breaking. No defenders in sight. Like, I swear to God, he's going to play a very strong team. We need to get the 3 points away. This is the game that we lost last time. Ole needs to right the wrong. Arguably, this Istanbul game is the reason why we did not move on, and we end up going to Villarreal. So if you want to blame the Villarreal loss on somebody, you blame it on Demba Ba. But joke's on him. He's playing in Turkey somewhere.
Somewhere. This is a big game because it's an easy team, right? Arguably the easiest team in the group. But obviously you complicated it by the fact that you're playing away. You don't want to underestimate them. Maybe the 11 that I'm going to pick underestimates them. But you got to get 3 points. There's no excuses. And if you do drop points, it's just bad mojo. Can't have it. Can't have it.
Little history on Young Boys. They're a Swiss sports club based in Bern, Switzerland, founded in 1898. The name Young Boys is kind of weird, but when you kind of mirror it against their other Basel-based club, the Old Boys, right? They kind of founded them. Hey, you're the Old Boys. We'll be the Young Boys in 1898. It kind of makes sense. They've won 15 Swiss League championships, 7 Swiss Cups. They're one of the most successful Swiss football clubs in Europe. They've reached the semifinals of the European Cup in 58, 59. Haven't done much damage since they've been back. They wear the, sir, they wear the black and yellow. Black and yellow.
Black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah, so can't allow that to happen. Can't allow that to happen. I'm sure they're going to come out swinging. You know, this is a big match for them. They're playing Unite, Manchester United, the biggest club in the world at home. I don't know the deal with COVID restrictions in terms of the stadiums in Switzerland, but I imagine there's going to be some fans there, and I'm sure they're loud, rooting on their Young Boys against big, big, bad Manchester United. Let's go.
And the big curveball here is they play on turf, right, yeah, because of the winter. So you got to remember, I remember like Paul Pogba had scored a banger last time we played them on the turf. This isn't MLS. This is the Swiss League, baby. Looking at the tactics, Young Boys play the 4-4-2, sir. You know, a little throwback there. Leading goal scorer, we saw him feature for the U.S. Men's National Team, Sabachu, a.k.a. he goes by PFOC. His name is like, you know, 5 different names and all this stuff, but he goes by PFOC. He has 3 goals so far for Young Boys. He partners with Aliyah, who has 2 goals as well. Their manager is David Wagner, if you remember him from the Premier League, 17-18. He was a Huddersfield manager, kept them up in a miracle, and then got relegated, got fired. Then he went to, I think, Schalke, got fired. Now he's at Young Boys. So that's the order of operations. Relegation here on EPL, then you go to Bundesliga, then you kind of go down to the Swiss League. But you'll remember him, sir, when you see him on the touchline. Expect Young Boys to defend with the 2 banks of 4, looking to hit United on the counter, similar to what Newcastle did today. That's why I think you're going to see a strong lineup from Ole, because they're going to be spoilers going for the draw. We need that attacking talent up top, and we're going to need the quality in midfield to be able to defend on the counter, sir, like we did today. So I think you're going to see a much stronger side, because this is a trap game. Trap, trap, trap.
Trap, trap, trap. You want to make it also... I definitely picked the wrong 11. I'll say it
I
now.
I know. I saw your 11.
I'll say
I
it now because it's
offended.
True. It's true. It's like you play that 11 that I picked at the end of the 6th round.
That's like
an
EFL.
It's like when you already have it locked up and you need to make an impact, a statement early. Like this group is no one else's but Manchester United. And that should never be up for debate. And the way you make it so it's never up for debate is you play a strong 11 like you alluded at and you just smoke them. Sure, absolutely roll them on the turf MLS style.
Here's the deal. Like United... this season, I hate to steal this saying, but it's all gas, no brakes. Has to be all gas, no brakes. You can't be pumping the brakes, Young Boys away. Has to be how many can we score? Get the all-stars off early. Rest them. We got West Ham with no Antonio at the weekend. Sir, I if it was, say, City or something, I could see a lot more rotation. It's West Ham. David Moyes, tactical genius. I'm not even sweating, sir. We got Ronaldo back. Jumping the injuries, Rashford's got a shoulder surgery mid-October, sir. Watching that one intently. Telus, hopefully back late September. McTominay could be back soon, maybe next weekend. I doubt he would start. You know, that'd be sort of a come on as a sub. Get him some minutes. He's got to get fitness as well. Hendo, he is on COVID protocol. After effects, kind of a lot of fatigue with COVID. He's not featured yet. Hopefully soon. Cavani, no return date. Had a knock in training. Again, why do you sign Ronaldo? We talked about Cavani's injury record. Here you go. This is why you sign Ronaldo. And then Phil Jones having a laugh, sir. Give me that lineup that you got here. I tell you, I read this lineup and I was like, sir, what's your smoke?
He was laughing. I mean, yeah, do you have something to say about it?
I'll tell you what, he's got...
you got something to say about it?
You Hey, just tell me that back four.
Tell me that back four. Right, this back four. Let's go. Tom Heaton in net. World number three. Best number three in the world. Hendo ain't ready. And De Gea needs a blow. I'm doing DeLow by Lindelof and Shaw. I'm going to do Fred and Donny van de Beek with Mata at number 10. Jesse Lingard on the left. Martial up front and Sancho on the right. Sir, who you got?
Sir, I got to tell you. That's like...
I got to tell me what... Don't sugarcoat it now. Tell me what you real think.
That's like the starting 11 for like the preseason game in like Shanghai and like 2022, dude. Like, honestly.
All right, bro.
By Lindelof?
You know her of all things. Tell me what the 11 is. Young boys, bro.
There's the 11. Take it to the bank. De Gea in net. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Varane, Shaw, Fred, Pogba, Bruno, Lingard, Ronaldo, Greenwood, sir. Sancho needs the blow because his fitness is not 100. Right, he came back late, transfer deal, etc. Lingard's ready to go. I think you got to play Lingard in that spot, see how he does with Ronaldo, because Sancho didn't come off too great, and he needs the rest. Pogba doesn't need rest. Ronaldo doesn't need rest. Greenwood doesn't need rest. Varane, Maguire, good to go. Wan-Bissaka's good to go. Shaw's good to go. You got to play this strong team. Get players off, like Bruno, Pogba, Ronaldo. You get them off early, you go up by two or something like that.
No, Donny van de Beek in your 11, it's like he should go on strike, because if he doesn't feature in this team on the
Fred's
weekday.
Back.
I know,
Fred's
but still, back. He's got to be starting. It's like the kid needs to start.
But the reason is I'm trying to go by what I think always going to play, and it's like Pogba's got to play, and he's either going to play on the – he could play on the left. I thought about that. But the two work so well that I think Pogba's going to start playing there this season, so he needs more reps. And then is he going to play Donny or Fred? He's going to play Fred because – you need the players to be defensively minded if Pogba's going to start. And that's not Donny. It'd be Fred Donny like you had. But then you can't be benching Pogba, I don't think, right away. That's the only reason why Donny gets cut out is because of Pogba. And if Pogba leaves this team, Donny get a lot of playing time.
I don't want to risk Paul Pogba's knees on turf. That's why I benched him.
Booking the bookies, young boys to win plus 600. So tighter than Newcastle. Manchester United to win minus 240. First goal scorer Ronaldo, odds on favorite plus 240. Then Greenwood plus 430. Sir, given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction for young boys away?
Sir, I think it's going to be a cagey affair. Like you said, they're going to be a better team than we think. Whew, I'm going to do 2-0 United. Clean sheets, back of the menu. I think we start a strong starting 11, more like the one you alluded to. Do the job, but don't blow them out. What do you got?
Sir, 4-0. United get the clean sheet. Turf, fast turf away in Switzerland. Ronaldo's fast turf. Ronaldo scores too. Face to the bank, baby.
Fast
Let's go,
baby.
Let's go. United in the news. Sir, we have some news that really isn't any news, but because people don't know what they're talking about, kind of made some news. I saw on Twitter Glazers sell some voting shares or something, and it's like, everybody calm down, you know. If you don't know how to read these filings at the SEC website, just take a breather. Basically, all that happened was Ariel Investments, it's a Chicago based money manager, they just bought a lot of stock in Manchester United. It's just like if you and me bought stock in Manchester United, but a lot more. Above 5% of the club's total stock, you have to file a 13B election. You got to tell people how much you own, and then you file the updates every quarter so that your ownership can be tracked over 5%. So essentially, institutional money like Manchester United, it makes sense at these valuation at the valuation they're currently at. You look at the NFL valuations that came out. Cowboys were $6 billion. All the NFL teams, $6 billion. I'm like, Manchester United, what's your smoking? You know, we got to be up there. We're not on the equity market. So they're looking for kind of like 2X return here over time. It's a liquid stock. Anyone can buy it. And if you just buy a lot of it, you have to report it. That's all this was. Glazers didn't sell a penny. Sir, their Class B shares got all the voting, 10-1 votes.
Is the money going to the club, or is this is just going right into the Glazer pockets?
This doesn't go in anyone's pockets, sir. This is like when you buy stock on the open market, right? You buy it from other shareholders.
So they didn't buy a block of Class A shares from the Glazers. They just bought them from
No, because if you buy a block of Class A shares from the Glazers have to convert their B to A, and then they actually have to file a separate filing that says they're making an offering of stock, which should add to the existing stock outstanding. And they have not had to do that. So this is just them buying the stock on the open market, as you and me do, right? So if you and me go buy 100 shares, you're buying it from someone who's selling.
So no news. Right. And No news is good.
And so here's the thing. They could have had 4% for a long time, but once you trigger 5%, then you have to do this filing. So this is no news. Absolutely nothing burger here. Moving on.
Light news week. Big news here. Light news week.
Manchester United close to appointing Richard Arnold as Ed Woodward's successor. Is anyone else wondering why Edward's out the door and we're doing well? Like, there you go. That's all you need. Yeah. So Arnold, who the hell is this guy? Surely he knows a lot about football. Surely, no, he's an accountant.
Wrong.
He's like, he's an accountant from like PwC, joined Manchester United in 2007 as a group commercial director. He is just like one of the minions of the Glazers and Ed Woodward. He was promoted to group manager director and director of Manchester United, assuming control of the club's business operations after David Gill was replaced by vice chairman Ed Woodward. Essentially, he's completely focused on the business side of things, which makes sense for the Glazers, knows exactly how they want it done. He's basically Ed Woodward Jr. He was in charge of signing the Chevrolet deal and the Adidas deal. So, again, not a surprise here that they would just pick Ed Woodward Jr. It's not like they were going out and trying to get Van der Sar to run the team and have a figurehead. They don't want anyone who's not going to be a yes man. Obviously, they keep a tight grip on this club, especially how the finances are done. So the proof's in the pudding. We got Murtaugh, director of football. We've seen a good transfer window. We've seen them probably reap the benefits of that good transfer window, like you said, in kit sales. But remember, only a percentage of the kits sales go to United. They don't get the whole thing. That is not disclosed. So you have to also understand they have gotten a good chunk of change from the increase in kit sales, but not near like what the absolute figures are. And with Arnold, you got to look for how he's going to run the balance sheet, how he's going to allocate funds for transfers. But again, this is just vanilla, nothing exciting here. More of the same. Hashtag Glazers out, sir. If they had any balls, they'd be appointing like Van der Sar, president of the club.
Yeah, just a continuation. Continuation of the Glazer management. This is an Ed Woodward next. Ed Woodward light. He's been around for almost as long. His background is just as relevant as Woodward's was, which is basically not relevant. He's got like a accounting finance background generalist. And just like, oh, he'll be the CEO of the company. They can trust him is a thing. The Glazers know he'll protect the pocketbook of the club. Someone that will get less hate than Woodward because he's just been around so long and have presided over so much failure at this club that he's had his hands in. That, hey, Richard Arnold, you're next in the line. Step up. You're up.
No, totally. And this goes to the whole point where, usually the CEO of a business doesn't come from the accounting side.
Right.
And that's not a knock on accounting. It's just one of those things where, like, usually the CFO of a business comes from the accounting side, which you really need a strong CFO. But the CEO of a football club is more of a cultural figurehead, someone who represents the club, bleed red, and someone who has a vision and can articulate that vision and hire the appropriate people to execute that vision for this club over the long term. And that ultimately would be better for the Glazers. I just think they're so focused on the penny pinching mentality. That's why it's kind of interesting to have like a guy with an accounting background be CEO. They're really focused on the dividend. They're really focused on the bottom line. And that's what this signals to me, because Steve Jobs doesn't really know a lot about the bottom line. He could have a guy explain it to him, but you need someone with that vision for United. And I thought this was a chance the club could put Eddie Woodward behind them and get somebody like Van der Sar, someone who commanded a lot of respect in this position, and they decided to go with Ed Woodward Jr. here. More of the same from the board, not to be surprised, sir.
Just another banker.
Exactly. And another thing here, just quickly commenting on the banned players from Brazil. Just kidding. They're not banned.
Psych. That's why Fred was on the bench.
This doesn't make any sense to me. The whole thing doesn't make sense to me. I'll tell you, World Cup qualifying and COVID, holy shit, that's a mess. That's all this says. The cool thing that came out that we should talk about briefly, World Cup every 2 years. What do you think?
Terrible idea. It's because it's a cash grab, bro. Because there's the Euro, those 2 years. There's some cup competition in the Americas. It takes away.
I don't care about the
Euros. Sir, you want my opinion? You want my opinion? Or you want to tell me your opinion?
Sir, I'm from New Jersey. I will shout louder than you so you listen to my opinion.
Clearly,
I'll ask the question.
Yeah, my opinion is I like that it's every 4 years. It's like you got to wait for it. It's a thing. It's a big deal, right? It makes it less special because there'll be twice as many of them. Because just the cadence. And obviously, as a greedy fan and someone that has already had pre-negotiated with his wife that he will travel to every World Cup, well, hey, that would put a hell of a wrinkle in it if it's every 2 years as opposed to every 4 years. I know she didn't think we signed up to that. But I just don't like the idea of it as a fan. It's like these players play enough games, dude. You can tell they're stretched beyond belief. At the end of the day, this is all about money. This is all about FIFA making more cash. They don't care about the game. They don't care about the players. They don't care about even about the fans. They just want to make more money. That's it. More better dividends, cash.
No, I think so. A few thoughts on it. A lot of different things are being discussed, right? They throw out this crazy. First of all, the World Cup's going from, was it 32 to 48, right? In 2026, which again, it's inevitable, but what I like to see is, like, first of all, things change. Times are changing. The FIFA structure needs to be changed. Like CONCACAF qualifying 14 games every month. You have international breaks with the clubs. It's crazy, sir. So I think the discussion of, hey, we have these international tournaments. How do we work them in a way where they're not so onerous in travel for, you know, midweek on for like Manchester United, for example? As well as, do any of the regional cup competitions really matter? To my, what I would say is no. I honestly, Euros is just, okay, Ireland gets in and Slovenia gets in. It's not really that. I mean, like the Euros is a cool tournament, but I don't really care about the CONCACAF tournament. I don't care about the South American tournament either. So why don't you just have the World Cup every other year, and then why don't you have World Cup qualifying during the summer every other year? So you basically qualify for the World Cup the year before, and then you just kind of scrap these mini tournaments, and you just do the big one, big daddy, every other year, and then you qualify in the summer, and then you don't have this crazy schedule. Something like that I could get behind, because who cares about the Euros if you could just do it right? Brazil versus England more often. United States, it'd be better for us. We get to play better teams. I think they could change qualifying. I think there's a way to just get the international tournament going more often instead of just making it this three-year qualification craziness. You know, I just think the World Cup, if you did it more often, you wouldn't really miss the Euros, bro, honestly.
But you're talking about a world where it runs rationally and without, you know, money being the guiding principle behind all things, because if it's just FIFA getting that money every 2 years, and that means who runs the Euros? I believe it's UEFA. And who runs all the CONCACAF and those cups? It's like Latin, you know, in the Latin Americas and the Americas.
No, that
they
aside,
all have a bag of cash that they're waiting to be filled on a regular basis.
They get a percentage of the bag, bro.
Yeah, but like, you think UEFA or FIFA are going to share that bag?
I'm just saying there's things that could be improved upon, because if you really think about it, international football is international football. There's not like imaginary borders around Europe, and there's not imaginary borders around Asia and America and Africa. It's just like, it should just be international football. You compete for the top, include more teams, make it more friendly, spread the money around. I like it, sir.
They're not going to spread the money around. It is controversial.
It is controversial, but there's a world where I could see it working for the clubs and the international side of things. We could debate that all day. Let's jump into fan questions, sir. A lot of good feels here. I included more fan questions than I usually do because everyone's buzzing about Ronaldo. At JM McLiver, quote, love seeing Ronaldo beat people with his brain. Great runs and finishes. The effect on the team is priceless. It's great to have a few killers again, and let's hope the effect carries this team to glory one way or another. Absolutely spot on. At the Alex Davis, quote, The Ronaldo effect was visible in every man wearing red today. De Gea distributing Jesse with a silky finish. Silky finish. Modest turning back the clock. A banger from Bruno and Tupac assists. Manchester United is back in every team in England and Europe. Damn well better be afraid, sir. Hashtag 21 times. I like that tweet for the reason is I haven't heard a lot from the Chelsea fans. They're awfully quiet.
I don't know. They're playing right now, right? Are they playing Villa?
They're playing right now, but I'm saying, like, the Chelsea fan on the thread, they signed Lukaku for over $100 million. That looks like a great deal. Paying a lot for that club foot until we sign Ronaldo for nothing. I mean, Chelsea, I think teams are a little scared of us right at the moment.
And they rolled them. They rolled them. They're tied with us now. They rolled Villa, so it's lonely at top. Chelsea and United tied on points and goal differential. Let's go. But they're probably the second best team behind us, I would say.
How dare you? We don't check the table till Christmas. At Mike United Mets. Quote, since I started listening to this pod a few years ago, this is the most optimistic I've felt about a United team. We have the talent and depth to fight on multiple fronts. Ole has rebuilt us from the ashes, and I hope it continues uphill from here. Come on, United. Thought that was a great tweet. At Chris Cardona 12, always at the wheel, man. He's doing his thing. Man United are back. Great game. It's as simple as this. We have Ronaldo. They don't. PL should watch out. Absolutely agree. At D underscore Cole 18, quote, best I've ever felt about a squad since Sir Alex Ferguson retired. Attacking options everywhere. Players have desire. Even Martial looked up for it. The mentality, sirs, it's finally there to see. Can't wait to toss a fit and fire Rashford into the mix. Best squad since Sir Alex Ferguson retired, sir?
Without a doubt. I said this a couple weeks ago. It's better than the squad Fergie had when he won the title in 13 when he retired. It's like it's the best squad since Ronaldo left 12 years ago. If you look at the depth across the team, the attacking options, the defense. Now, we don't have Sir Alex Ferguson. Fergie be winning trebles with this team, but all the pieces are there. The youth, the spine, like the depth. It's a really, really deep squad. One of the best in Europe. And now it's about performing. Age, experience, size, strength, speed. It's like we have the lot. We have everything. Upside. Let's go. I'm full Muppet. I think United, the team is a Ferrari. The club and the fans are a train, and the train is like, it's like catching up, and a train is an immovable force. It's a lot harder to stop. And like the United fans are finding their voice again because the feels are back. It's the most confident in this team. The swag is starting to come back, and that's what we need. We need to remind all these like clubs around us that like, there's only one Manchester United. Chelsea? Are you kidding me? It's like, come on. Come on. City don't even have fans. They can't even sell out their stadium and they won the title.
Sir, you just don't need to say anything. Just grin. Smile. Smile. Today's a good day. Everybody enjoy it. Ronaldo only makes his second home debut once. What a debut it was. What a day it is, sir. That is it. That's the podcast. Thank you for listening. The American Red Devils, you listened to us from the beginning, sir. We started in 2017. It's crazy. It's 2021. The feels around this club at the moment. That's what it's about. Just being a Muppet, riding the highs. You got some lows, sir. Villarreal, you know.
It's always darkest for the dawn. You know what? If we won Euro, it would feel a little different than it feels right now. This team has like a point to prove. It's got a chip on its shoulder, and that's exactly what I want this team to have. I want this team to be like mad if they drop points, mad if they even concede goals.
Yeah, and Ole made mistakes in that game, and I bet you next time we play in a final, he's going to not make as many mistakes. I have a feeling next time we play in this final will be this year. Sir, if you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. Pod never sleeps. If you want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. We have our great merch, our 21-22 scarf. In stock, get it while supplies last, sir. It's limited edition. Write a review on iTunes, sir. I believe you have the cities.
Got them
this week.
Queued up.
I hope there's some international ones. Give you some curveballs. Mispronounce those cities. Top 10 cities last 7 days.
Number one. How you doing? Bend, Oregon. Fukuoka, Fukuoka, Japan, we're all United Kingdom, Singapore, Quanhai, Vietnam, Dublin, Ireland, look at this board, Frodsham, United Kingdom, Deerfield, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, and last but not least, sir, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do without you boys.
My headphones are breaking up. But what town was that in Japan?
Fukuoka. You know, you haven't been to Fukuoka, bro? The place is lit in the summer.
Keep listening, Japan.
Appreciate you.
I need more Japanese cities on this list for Alex to pronounce. That's what I need in my life. Sir, you're the man. What a day. Onwards and upwards, young boy, sir. I don't know what song you got queued, what you're playing.
Well, he's looking real, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
Did you hear Rio? You said it at the beginning. I queued it up because you said I alluded to it. I didn't want to disappoint. You ready to go?
Let's go.
The Muppets are back. Always at the wheel. Let's go, boys.
How does it feel?